Mary had a little man.
The Force.
We believe that all men are created
equal
to the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show. Turn up your mind.
Spoiler alert.
This morning, an ROV, or remote operated vehicle, from the vessel Horizon Arctic discovered the tail cone of the Titan submersible approximately 1,600 feet from the bow of the Titanic on the seafloor. The ROV subsequently found additional debris. In consultation with experts from within the Unified Command, the debris is consistent with the catastrophic loss of the pressure chamber.
Aye.
Upon this determination, we immediately notified the families. On behalf of the United States Coast Guard and the entire Unified Command, I offer my deepest condolences to the families.
So we now have a conclusion to the series. The binge watching has come to an end with this vessel that they named Titan that was going to see the Titanic. I mean, what are we going to have a spacecraft that we name Challenge after the Challenger? I don't think so. So, you know, just an unfortunate name, an unfortunate ending, just an unfortunate, you know, situation all the ways around. So it's over. The thing is ended. And you know, I in the homework today, if you go to randyrhoads.com or visit us on Substack at randyrhoads.substack.com, either way, the homework is there and it's free. And there's an article in there that I tagged. I think I tagged it the best article I read about the submersible. And it was written by a guy who, you know, was a diver for many, many years and had a real close brush with, you know, death as a scuba diver, as a deep diver, and, you know, wrote about it and said something that really resonated with why I think we're all captured by this. Because, you know, if you think about it, there was just a massive freaking shipwreck. I don't know how many people actually know about this, which is exactly illustrative of what I'm telling you. So there was this massive shipwreck in the Mediterranean. It was a bunch of, you know, migrants that were trying to get the hell out of Libya. I swear to God, it's been Libya since Back to the Future. You know that, right? 88 miles per hour. You know, what was happening in the Twin Pines shopping center? Okay, Doc was being hunted by the Libyans. By the freaking Libyans. That's how old this Libyans.
Well, he's got to pay for his uranium. He didn't pay. They wanted their money. I don't blame the Libyans in that case.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're a Muammar Gaddafi-loving, you know, psycho. There's something wrong with you.
You buy uranium, you pay for your uranium. We know that.
You buy, you pay.
That's right. This is America.
Anyway, so these migrants, this is a very sad story, though. These migrants, there were about 500 of them on a vessel, and they were leaving Libya trying to cross the Mediterranean to get into southern Italy. I've made that journey on a cruise ship, but not from Libya. I left from Tunisia, which is right next door to Libya, which is a gasoline fill-up station for cruise ships traveling in the Mediterranean. That's why you stop in Tunisia, okay? You don't stop there because there's anything to see or because it's not one of the poorest, you know, buttholes of the world. You stop there because gas is cheap, you know, and if the cruise line gets their fill up there. Anyway, so then you leave Tunisia and you don't realize that you're in northern Africa. Libya is in northern Africa. This is why I really want people to travel when they can. It's the only way that you'll learn, you know, where in the world you are and why it matters. But anyway, so, you know, this migrant ship was full of about 500 people that were fleeing Libya, trying to get to Italy. And their ship was sunk was sunk. It's not like, you know, they were on this vanity trip, you know, it's not like they were trying to, you know, go sightsee 2 miles below the ocean surface. They didn't want to go below the ocean. They were not interested in below the ocean. Not even a care about a squid, not even a whale watching, not even a dolphin, not even a turtle. So anyway, their ship was sunk. And it's not really a question of, you know, can we think of two things at the same time? Yes. It's more of a question of the media coverage and also a question of the resources that were deployed. You know, the other day I was trying to make a point about how when catastrophic things happen, right, when chaos and catastrophe ensue, taxpayers always get stuck with the bill, right? And this is one of those examples where, you know, the world's taxpayers, obviously this was a global response, Canada, France, you know, we know that the entire world tried to respond to these sightseers who decided to take this test submersible, this, you know, iffy sort of, you know, thing that had never been properly tested. Now we're finding out that there were other rich people who asked for their deposits back because they didn't like the odds. They didn't like the risk. They didn't like the way the company was dealing with the risk. And so they said, you know, refund me. I'm not going on your little joy ride there to the bottom of the ocean. But that said, you had very sparse resources deployed to get these migrants out of the water. 500 of them apparently were on this boat. Now, it's hard to know. I doubt there was a manifest of any sort. But 81 of them have been rescued by Greece. So they say that about 100 perished, right? And we're pretty much done with it. We're done with it. And it happened, you know, around the same time. So people who followed these human rights, you know, debacles, people who followed the story of these migrants who were lost at sea, who were sunk at sea, who never made it to safety, who were literally fleeing with their children, trying to have a better opportunity to live, to, you know, educate their kids, to have some semblance of a life, and didn't make it across the Mediterranean. So some of the people who are trying to get you to pay a little bit of attention to that while the whole world was, you know, watching these, you know, idle, you know, trust fund babies or these billionaire boys have their, you know, little sightseeing fun. And it ended up in death, which is kind of the attraction, I think, to the adrenaline junkies in the first place. But it was such a grotesque way to die. You know, I think every detail that we found out, like, oh, they bolt them from the outside. They bolt them in from the outside, like a coffin. You know what I mean? It was like one of those mind-blowingly horrifying visuals of how you could die. Yeah, but the guy who wrote the best article, that's what I wanted you to read, and I still do, the diver, the way he characterized our, let's say, fear or awe of the ocean, which if you've had anything to do with the ocean, okay, if you fish, like Gary in Fort Lauderdale, he's a fisherman, okay? That's what his living is. He also, you know, is a captain of tenders. But anyway, if you've ever been a diver, if you were ever a surfer, if you ever were somebody that went to the beach and saw or got involved in riptides, it doesn't really matter what your level of expertise with the ocean is. As long as you've confronted it and it's awesome, awesome power, you know what I'm saying, okay? This guy said, not only is it like the most awesome power known to man because space is wide open and the ocean is shut closed, meaning the pressure on the human body when you go into the ocean, but the allegory, I don't know how to say it, the comparison he made between space and the ocean was that space was the future, where it's empty and you could write in the stars your future. He said the ocean is our past, and that's why it's so devastating to us, because we know we crawled out of the slime and we know that the ocean, you know, like expelled us. And so trying to go back in is doubly scary, and space is not as scary. I don't know, just the way he put it sort of helped me understand why I was just tantalized, let's just say, by this story and not the sinking of the migrants. guy said, not only is it like the most awesome power known to man, because space is wide open and the ocean is shut closed, meaning the pressure on the human body when you go into the ocean, but the allegory, I don't know how to say it, the comparison he made between space and the ocean was that space was the future where it's empty and you could write in the stars your future. He said the ocean is our past, and that's why it's so devastating to us, because we know we crawled out of the slime and we know that the ocean, you know, like expelled us. And so trying to go back in is doubly scary, and space is not as scary. I don't know, just the way he put it sort of helped me understand why I was just tantalized, let's just say, by this story, and not the sinking of the migrants.